Let's turn over to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Look here in verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." It says in verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Now, I appreciate what Paul has written here, but I think he left one out. Self. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against self." How many of you have wrestled against yourself? That's like years ago in that comic strip Pogo. Pogo says, "We have met the enemy and he is us." Really? For Christians, your greatest source of conflict is you?
No, it's the devil.
No, it's you. You are your greatest source of conflict. Think for a minute. If the Bible says that God has given us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we are to rule and reign with Him in this life, that we've been made more than conquerors, that we are seated with Him, then how can we say that the devil is our biggest problem? What it comes down to is not figuring out all of this victory stuff that God says. It's amazing how we can read it and then live like we have no clue what it means. You know, I was praying yesterday, last night, and the Lord began to speak, and it deals with this very thing about we are our biggest problem. And it's not your neighbor, your mother-in-law, it's not the boss, it's you, it's me. I am my biggest problem. You're not my biggest problem, it's me. You say, "Yeah, but Brother Martin, as a pastor, don't you encounter a lot of, you know, like challenging situations?" Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You just don't know about it. But a lot of stuff. And it's amazing how that some people can... It's really interesting. Some folks develop this really convoluted sense of boldness when it comes to addressing the pastor. And they will say things to a pastor they wouldn't even say to their own husband or wife or to their boss, because they know they'd get fired if they did. It's like all of a sudden they develop this sense of me. I don't know what you want to call it. And, you know, those are challenging moments. But the greatest problem for each of us is not things or people. It's us. We're our greatest problem. "No, Brother Martin, can't be me. I got my act together." Trust me, your biggest problem is you. Because if you've been made more than a conqueror, you should be conquering. Amen? And too many of us are living in ways that we are conquered. But I want to share this word that the Lord gave to me. Listen, honestly, okay, how many of you have ever made a promise to God and you meant well and you didn't keep it? It could be any kind of a promise. "I'll go to church on Sunday." And then you didn't show up. You know, you had a hangnail or something and you didn't show up. You make these promises and then you don't keep them, all right? You ever wondered why you don't keep them? Yes, you have. If you will listen to what the Lord has to say here in this and take it to heart, it's going to help you. It'll help us. It's helped me. I already know what was coming here. It will help you. I'm telling you, it will help you if you will take this to heart and pay close attention to what he says. What I'm going to read to you right now is the answer. It is. It's the answer to you. And you'll understand once we get through this. Okay, now listen to this. "There are various levels of the Christian walk, and I love everyone equally. no matter the level whereat they are walking. Number one, there are some who get born again and go not much further. Number two, some get born again and make a faithful effort to attend church on a regular basis, but there is not much true spiritual growth. Number three, some get born again, faithful attend church, but also spend various amounts of time with me in my word and prayer. They experience a very entry-level type of growth. Number four, some get born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, but go no further. While this is an improvement, it is basically the same as number one. Number five, some get born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, and are faithful to their church. Again, this is an improvement, but these people are not much further along than those at number two. Number six, some get born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, are faithful to their church, and spend various amounts of time with me in my word and prayer. These people are making progress, but it is not as much as they think. Number seven, some get born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, are faithful to their church, and spend various amounts of time with me in my word and prayer, but they also spend time praying in the Spirit. These people are definitely making progress in their maturity. Number eight, some get born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, are faithful to their church, and spend various amounts of time with me in my word and prayer, but they diligently seek to spend time with me in my word, praying in the Spirit, worship, and fasting. Listen closely. This is the only group which is making the progress that I desire. Too many of my children living at levels 1 through 7 believe they are experiencing greater growth than what is truly happening. The growth they perceive is based on their emotions and not on what is happening on a spiritual level. I am your Father, I am a Spirit, and all of your growth and maturity is based in the realm of the Spirit. But most of my children have been trained to evaluate their spiritual progress by what they feel and think, not on what I have detailed in my Word. In my Word, I have laid out intimate details about what it takes to grow spiritually. I have detailed the process of growth which will produce the fruit of growth. But many of my children are performing works that they call the fruit of growth, yet they have not first experienced the growth. Once again, in my word, I have explained what will be produced by genuine spiritual maturity. Did not my son say that you would know a tree by its fruit? But what I call the genuine fruit of spiritual growth and what most of my children call the genuine fruit of spiritual growth are not always the same things. I look at what is produced out of your spirit. You look at what is produced by your own efforts. As a result, many are doing good things in an effort to please me when what I really want is to work in you to conform you to the image of my Son. People living at each of the eight levels of spiritual growth are fighting the same battle when it comes to going deeper into me. The battle is not with sin, and it is not specifically with the devil. The battle you are all fighting is with your emotions. It is emotions, not sin, which will always be your greatest battle. You see, Satan, your enemy, cannot cause or give you emotions. He can only attack in the hope of influencing your emotions. Think about all the times you have decided you were finally going to get serious with me. You had made a 100% quality decision to pray, read my word, and maybe even fast or worship more than ever. This time it's going to be different, you said within yourself. This time I won't back off. But what happened? You know what happened. You did the same thing you've done over and over. You fell out of time with me. Then you began to ask questions. You wondered, what is wrong with you? Some of you have thought you have some kind of inner problem. You have beaten yourself up because you have repeatedly done the same thing you said you wouldn't do again. Some of you have justified your repeated failures by using the daily problems and conflicts you face as an excuse. But I would ask, why is it that everyone doesn't have the same problems and conflicts? If it were those problems and conflicts you face which have taken you out of prayer, why is it that not everyone facing similar problems are taken out of prayer? Why is it that some people aren't stopped with the same kinds of struggles? You see, it is not the problems you face, it is how your emotions respond to those problems. Your emotions tell you that you don't have time to pray, but I live outside of time and can show you that you do have time to pray. I can show you what you're missing. Some believe their family issues and responsibilities make it impossible to spend time with me. But again, I live above all of your problems, and I can show you those things to which your emotions have blinded you. While some Christians think the thing which prevents spiritual growth is sin, I tell you it is your emotions. Yes, sin hinders your progress with me, but why do you sin? It is because your emotions have convinced you that you will experience or obtain something to your gain by committing an act of sin. This is all described in my word in the book of James. Throughout your Christian life, you have been trained to respond to your emotions rather than my life in you. This is why it is so hard for many to be trained to be led by my life in you. This is why so many greatly criticize teachings about true meditation in my word, praying in the Spirit, fasting, and private worship. These things are designed to assist your spiritual growth, but the emotions are totally against doing any of these. It is easier to teach a doctrine founded on emotions because it is so universally received. Listen closely to what I am telling you. Your emotions will never be in agreement with your spirit concerning what it takes to grow spiritually. Did you hear me? I said never. Too many of you are waiting for your emotions to line up with what your spirit needs, but it will never happen. Because of this, most of my children take the emotional approach to spiritual growth, evaluating their spiritual progress by what they feel and think. If their emotions are appeased, they convince themselves that they have experienced spiritual growth. At times you may experience excitement over the progress in me you are anticipating as a result of prayer. But again, think about what has happened. The excitement has waned and you have stopped. I am telling you this to try and help you. If you know ahead of time that you are never going to force your emotions to agree with your spirit concerning spiritual maturity, then you can be prepared for the battle. Arm yourself with this thought. My emotions will never agree, therefore they must be subdued. There are times your emotions will fight prayer and time with me with such an intensity that you will feel like screaming, crying, cursing, or throwing up your hands and quitting. They will do everything to get you to do something else. But don't ever give in to the thought of, what's the use of trying? I'll never change. But I say you can change. This is why I am speaking these things to you now. Know ahead of time that your emotions will fight you over prayer, fasting, meditation in my word, and worship. Know ahead of time that you will, on occasion, feel miserable. This is all natural because your emotions are too founded on head knowledge, the things of this world, and man's form of self-achieving religion. Do not ever believe a teaching which implies that you can get to a point that you will never struggle with your emotions. Even my son fought emotions, but he did it victoriously by my life, power, and anointing in him. You can do the same. Accept the fact that your emotions are unstable and produce different feelings every day. Why do you think it is that some days you are in a good mood and some days in a bad mood? You are always going to fight your emotions. Sometimes the battle will be more intense than others. With this in mind, know also that you can overpower your emotions. I can help, but it is you which must force yourself to drive your emotions to their knees. You must force yourself into my presence no matter what you feel. Sometimes this will be easy, other times it will feel like an all-out war. But the more you force yourself into my presence, the more of my life and peace you will experience. My peace will become a strength to you to fight the emotions. My peace will rise up from within your spirit and empower you to fight this ongoing fight. You will find it easier and easier to come to me and spend time in my presence, but the emotions will always be there to take you away. Because you have my life in you, you can do this. But the first step is to believe what I have said this day and not allow your emotions to dictate your actions. Until you do this, you will continue through life as you have for so many years. Today I am telling you how to experience change. Take me at my word, act on my word, and conform to the image of my Son. Praise the Lord. So there's the answer to all your problems. See, Brother Martin, you got anything better to say? Well, talk to the Lord. See, here's the thing. Quite frankly, as the Lord is giving this to me, and it's like, you know, I'm hearing this, and even now as I'm reading it, I'm thinking back to the perception that is given to the body of Christ. How that all we have to do is conquer the devil. But isn't he already defeated? Now, I understand the concept, conquer the devil, okay? I understand, you know, like what Paul said, you know, we war not against flesh and blood and so forth. I understand that. But what I'm getting at is that most Christians don't want to accept the personal responsibility of what God's describing here. I'll be honest with you, there's some Christians, they probably wouldn't believe this. It's not my emotions. Yeah, it is. No, it's not. Then why aren't you doing what you tell God you'll do? Why aren't you doing what you see in His Word that you're supposed to do? Why don't you agree with what He says in His Word? You know why people don't agree with truth? It's because their emotions are telling them they already know truth and they don't want to be confronted with something that's telling them they're wrong. So that's why people fight so much about, you know, various doctrines and so forth. And what God is sharing here in this, go ahead and turn over to John 14. Let me show you something. John 14. I don't want to think that I'm my problem. I want to think other people are my problem. I don't want to think it's my emotions. And as the Lord was sharing this with me, it's like I could see waves of emotion. Sometimes it's like a little small wave that, you know, barely washes up on the shore. And other times it's like this massive wave that blammo hits. And I think every one of us, we know what this is like. Why is it that you have all these, you know, all of us? I mean, I'm with you in this. Why is it we have all these incredibly great intentions that we're going to pray and we're going to do all these things that we need to do so that we can be just like Jesus in this world, and then we don't do them? Why is it we get pulled out? It's because our emotions are telling us that something else is more important at that time. And the emotions, like he said here, they're based on, you know, the things of this world, head knowledge, and, you know, the religious, man's religion of self-achieving, whatever, the way he said it here, self-achieving religion. You know, our emotions have been trained along those lines. So when something, and listen, you've got to understand, we're talking, just imagine it like this, your emotions. Relative to what the Lord is saying here, we're talking about a cement wall that's like 30 feet thick and 50 feet high. None of us are going to just, you know, take that on and beat it because we made a decision that it automatically is the loser. It's just going to look at you and say, wait a minute, you don't understand. I've been here for 15 years and I've had a lot of time to cure. I'm really hard. I'm really tough and I'm really strong. And you are not going to break me down. So we have to turn around and have this attitude that, you know what? You're right. I have to acknowledge you exist. However, I have to also acknowledge that greater is He that is in me than you that is in me. I have to acknowledge that the life of God in me is able to rise above what you represent. Now look here in John 14. Jesus said in verse 27, and now please keep in mind what the Lord said in this word about how His peace becomes our strength to subdue the emotions. It's very important. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now let me rephrase this for the sake of, you know, this word and this teaching. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. not as the world giveth. Most of us, it's like the Lord, when He was sharing that we base our spiritual growth on what we think and feel, and if the emotions are appeased, we believe there's spiritual growth. Okay, that's based on the kind of peace the world gives. Jesus is saying, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. In other words, He's saying, I'm the source of this peace. I'm the one you get it from. And it's not the kind of peace that the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Put another way, operating by this peace that I give you enables you to withstand anything that would cause your emotions to produce in you a thought process that is troubling or fearful. I'm afraid if I don't get this done, I'll never get it done. I'm afraid if I don't do this, this bad thing will happen. You know what I'm talking about? If I don't do that laundry now, it'll never get done. Yeah, it will. And if it doesn't, go buy you some new clothes. They'll get done. You see what I'm saying? But we're governed by the emotions that have been there every day. See, the moment you get born again is not the moment you mature. The moment you get born again is the moment you pass from the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. But it doesn't mean that you are instantly what you ought to be. So here we are, we get born again, we have God's life on the inside of us, but those emotions are still there. And they're looking at us and they're saying, whoa, just because you've had a change in life doesn't mean I'm any different than what I was before. I'm still the same old problem that you used to have. Only now I'm going to intensify myself because I'm seeing some competition here. And I do not give up easily. I never have and I never will. So anytime, I mean, hey, if you want to think about prayer and reading your Bible, go ahead, think about it all you want. I don't care. But the moment that you take a step in that direction is the moment that I will attack you. And most of us think that our attack, that our problem area is Satan. No, like the Lord said, He can't cause emotions. He can only do things to try to influence emotions. Listen, guys, every one of us have problems in life. Every one of us have encountered family situations. There's not a person in this room that hasn't had a disagreement with their spouse. You with me? There's not a person in here who hasn't had some kind of interaction with their children. You know what I mean? There isn't one person out here that has not had a confrontation with their dog or their cat or, you know, whatever pet you have. In other words, what I'm saying is we all have issues. All of us. And that's why God was saying in this word, it isn't your problems. Otherwise, if it were, you know, problems A, B, C, D, and E, if it were those problems that kept you away from the presence of God, then everybody would have the same five problems. In other words, Satan would do everything he can to manufacture the same thing in everybody's life. But not everybody responds the same way to the same problems. So therefore, it can't be the problem. It's got to be the emotions responding to the problem. Now, Jesus says, listen, I leave you my peace. And it's the kind of peace that you're not going to get. In other words, it's the kind of peace that stuff outside of your spirit cannot produce. Listen, there have been times in our lives when we have felt really good about our walk with God. Am I right? There have been times in our lives when we have felt like, boy, praise God, me and Jesus, buddy, we are going forward. And then, you know, 2-3 days later, all of a sudden, we feel like the greatest failure in the kingdom of God. I ain't doing no good. I'm a nothing. Why? Why is that? Why do we go through all of these things? We are our greatest problem. Because when you're thinking more along the line, thinking more with the mind of Christ and who you've become in Christ, there's a greater stability in your perception of you. But when the emotions are governing your actions and relationship with God, you go through these times of, you know, 3 or 4 days, you're doing great in your prayer, you're reading your Bible, and then 2 or 3 weeks, nothing. Then after 2 or 3 weeks have gone by, you sit back and you think, I don't believe I did this again. I'm such a failure. I'm such a nothing. I just can't. Okay, but God, this time it's going to be different. You hear a sermon like this, and it's like, bless God, pastor's right. Hallelujah. I'm going to get my act together. And boy, you're on fire for a while. And you're overriding those emotions temporarily. It's like those emotions are sitting back saying, okay, have your fun. Go ahead. But I'm lurking in the shadows. And trust me, I will rear my ugly head and take you down. That's the attitude of your emotions. Because they are not born again. They have to be influenced by the life of God. Now, they can be influenced. You don't think that Jesus ever had a temptation to respond out of emotions as opposed to the life of God when confronted with certain things? Here's what's interesting. When he chased those people around with that whip in the temple, that was God. He wasn't just angry. It was what you might call a righteous anger. I mean, he was correcting some things. People they should have known better. Priests should have never let that happen. They knew better. Well, anyway, Jesus says, look, this peace is available to you, and it's not the kind of peace that you can obtain by anything that the world has to offer. He's telling you, look here at this. He says, peace I leave unto you, not as the world giveth. What's he identifying? He is identifying that in this world, circumstances can produce a type of peace. In other words, he's telling you that, yeah, you know, your life can be such to where you will feel at ease. But he's saying that is not the kind of peace that I'm giving you. The kind of peace that I am giving you is more powerful than just a good set of circumstances. I can give to you the kind of peace that will enable you to accomplish what needs to be done in the midst of circumstances that are motivating your emotions to scream out, are you crazy? Why are you doing this prayer thing? Why are you doing this Bible reading thing? Look over in John 16. Look at verse 33. Jesus says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Okay, now what do we see identified here? Well, first off, in John 14, we identified the fact that he was acknowledging circumstances in your life can produce a type of peace. Because he says the world can give you peace, but it's not the same thing that I give you. Then over here he's saying, well, right along with that, the world is going to give you tribulation. In other words, you're going to have circumstances. And in some of those circumstances, you're going to feel good about yourself, and in some of those circumstances, you're going to feel bad about yourself. But what I have to give to you, my kind of peace, enables you to exist in any circumstances in such a way to where the emotions are not overriding what I am trying to do in you. He says, I'm warning you ahead of time. That's why I'm telling you this, all of these things. In me, you can have peace. Remember chapter 14, he says, peace I leave you, you know, my peace I give unto you. Here he says, in me ye might have peace. All right, now what did the Lord say in this word? He said, if you force yourself into my presence, then what's going to happen is my peace will become your strength. My peace will empower you to fight this fight. Look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. You know, our battle is not with each other, essentially. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay, very briefly, relative to this message, what's he describing here? He's saying, look, you have to cast down the emotions and every aspect of the emotions that are exalting themselves or itself, the emotions, against the knowledge of God. And you have to bring into captivity every aspect of your emotions and force them to be obedient to the things of God. You know, it's like little boy got in trouble one day. And his mom told him to go sit in the corner. And he looked at her and he said, all right. He went over and sat down. He said, I may be sitting down here, but on the inside, I'm outside playing. In other words, he was being obedient outwardly, sitting down in the chair, sitting in the corner, but on the inside, the feelings hadn't changed. He just didn't want to suffer the consequences of a blistered behind. You understand what I'm saying? But on the inside, nothing had changed. And what he's telling you here, again, relative to this message, he's saying, look, the emotions are going to be there. If not, you wouldn't have to cast them down. And this phrase, casting down, this phrase is the image of engaging in a fight, in a battle. In other words, you know, it's a do or die struggle. Fight to the death. And you're the one that is fighting hard to grab a hold of the opponent, which in this case happens to be your emotions, and casting them down and forcing them into submission. He goes on to talk about casting down what? Imaginations and every high thing, your thinking, your thought process, your feelings, that exalts themselves against the knowledge of God. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. What thoughts? Emotional thoughts that are telling you you don't have time to pray, you can't pray, you don't want to pray, you know you really don't want to read your Bible. I don't care what you thought a half hour ago. You now the truth be told, you don't want to do this. And then you sit and you wonder, how many can you relate to this? How many of you have ever sat and wondered, why don't I feel like praying? Why don't I feel like getting into my Word? Why don't I feel like doing it? You see what I'm saying? Why don't I feel like? In other words, for crying out loud, why aren't my feelings or my emotions coming into agreement with what I know I should do? And God's telling you right here, friend, they ain't. They are not going to come in agreement with you. They don't like the things of God. They don't want to go along with the things of God. It isn't, you don't have a devil on the inside of you, I hope. It's not a demonic thing. Even though we know Satan tries to influence, it's an emotional thing because the emotions have never been trained their entire life to do anything relative to God. They want to come, my knowledge of God. I know I need to pray. I know I need to worship. I know I need to do all these other things. I know I need to do this. And the emotions begin creating the imaginations of, no, you don't. No, you don't want to. This is better. This is more fun. You need to sleep in today. Remember, you stubbed your toe last night. You can't go to church and walk on a toe like that. I mean, why, you believe in healing. That would be hypocrisy to walk into a church limping. Why, you can't do this. You can't do that. And what happens? All these feelings come against you. The feelings of how a family member is acting on a particular day. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to change anything. You don't think Jesus had problems with family? You say, well, he wasn't married. No, he wasn't. But if you read Scripture, he did have some family issues. Some of them, they thought he was nuts. He had brothers and sisters, okay? Read the Bible. And some of his family thought he was a nut, thought he was crazy, thought he was out of his mind, out of sorts. They didn't agree. James, history tells us that his brother James did not believe that Jesus was who he said he was until he saw him after the resurrection. The Bible talks about Jesus appearing to James. And here we are today, we think things are different for us. And so we sit around, and generally speaking, we wait until we feel like it before we do anything. And how many times have we felt like it, and 5 minutes later, we don't? Something has changed. I'll tell you something. This word from the Lord, there's some people would take it as a negative thing. Think about this. Think of what he said here. He says, where's this page? Let me pull this back up. He said that you've wondered if you've got some kind of a problem. And he says, listen closely to what I'm telling you. Your emotions will never be in agreement with your spirit concerning what it takes to grow spiritually. I mean, he's just telling you right now, your emotions are never going to be in agreement. Sometimes you're going to have good days to where you feel like praying and being in the Word, and you'll do it. But how many of you know it doesn't last? And those good feelings, tomorrow they're not there. That's because, like he says in here, there's too many of us. We're basing our spiritual growth and what we do about our spiritual growth on how we feel. And God's saying, look, you better just resign yourself to this truth. Your emotions are never going to agree with you when it comes to spiritual growth. That's why they have to be subdued. Look, he made the statement, arm yourself with this thought. My emotions will never agree, therefore they must be subdued. So if you know this ahead of time, if we know this going in, I mean, can you imagine what your emotions are thinking right about this moment? The cat's out of the bag. Now they know that I am never going to give in. Oh, I might back off from time to time, but I'm always going to be there. One of the things that, here's one of the problems when you listen to a guy like Dave Roberson. You hear him talk about his prayer times, and I'll just, you may never have heard him share this, but I'll just share with you that he's hesitant to publicly in his sermons talk about his prayer times. And the reason for it is because he knows that some people will hear it and compare what he has done or is doing to what they have done or are doing. And when they see that it doesn't match, they want to throw in the towel and say, forget it, I can't do that. And he's saying that's why he doesn't like to really get into a lot of details about some of these things, because he knows how people are. Well, what you may not understand and may not realize is that a guy like Dave Roberson, he fights the emotions too. You say, no, yeah. You mean there are times when he doesn't want to pray? Yeah. You mean there are times where he really doesn't want to get into the Bible? Yes. You mean there are times where he doesn't feel like worshiping? Yeah. I've had opportunities to sit and talk with him, and every now and then he kind of gives glimpses of the... He fights it the same way. It's just that he has learned over, like what the Lord talks about here, how that if we force ourselves to do this, then his peace will become a strength to help us fight the emotions. It isn't that these people that give all these glowing testimonies about all this time they spend in prayer so far, it isn't that they don't fight the same emotional battles. It's just that they have forced themselves repeatedly against the emotions to be in God's presence, and they have grown in this experience of his peace. And they know that that peace is going to help them fight those emotions, because they know the emotions are going to come at them again. They know this all the time. There are no exceptions to this. And this is where a lot of Christians, it's kind of they get off center, they see the preachers up on TV and the pulpits and so forth, and they think these guys, they don't have any problems when it comes to prayer. So, I mean, man, you know, they don't fight the same fights that I fight. Yeah, they do. It's just that the circumstances which produce the emotions are different for them than they are for you. But they still fight the same thing. They still fight. For people that love to play golf, the emotions want to take them out to play golf. For the people that like to go bowling, the emotions will fight them to go bowling. I mean, they're going to do everything to appease themselves rather than to appease your born-again spirit. So therefore, God's telling us now, here in this word, it's not really, I don't think this is something we didn't know, but he's telling us, he's saying, look, get it settled. Your emotions are not going to walk in full agreement with you when it comes to being in my presence, to doing these, you know, the fasting, the worship, all this. Your emotions aren't. So what you have to do is you have to fight them. You have to subdue them. And he's describing a battle here, which is exactly what we see in 2 Corinthians. He's saying, you have to fight this. I have to fight it. Nobody is exempt. The thing is, the more you fight, the more you subdue, the more you... Here's the thing. I've heard some people talk about, I'll say it like this, they feel like that if they go into a time of like prayer, and if they don't feel like being there, it's not accomplishing anything. In other words, I sat there for 15, 20, 30, whatever, however long you sit there, 2 hours, whatever. I sat there all that time and I'm praying in the Spirit, but I didn't want to be there 1 minute. I didn't want to be there 1 second. So how could I have accomplished anything if I really didn't want to be there? That is exactly what God is identifying here in this word. He's saying, he's a spirit. Everything is related to the spirit as far as our spiritual growth is concerned. Therefore, if I'm praying in tongues, it's a spiritual thing. It's not an emotional thing. And that prayer is producing spiritual results. It does not matter what I feel. It is producing spiritual results. So I can sit there and pray in tongues, and in my mind, I can wish I was doing anything else. I'd rather be with the dentist than sitting here praying in tongues. I would not really. No, not really. I wish. And we have. It's almost like we are. We got an attitude about being there. You know what I'm saying? Oh, but pastor, he makes you feel guilty if you don't do it. So I'll sit here and I'll do it. Show him. And so you sit there and you pray. And God's saying, whew, boy. Here, let's build a deflector to that attitude and just let that spiritual part work. And you feel like you're not getting anything out of it. I mean, there have been times for me when I know that the worship, I need to do it. And I've gone to God, and I've told Him before I started, I don't feel like doing this, but I'm going to do it anyway. I love You. I praise You. And on the inside, I'm thinking, how is this accomplishing anything? Because I don't want to do this. But I keep doing it. I keep forcing myself to do it. And you know what? Pretty soon, it's like the emotions are getting hammered, and they start backing off. And I'll admit, you know, sometimes it takes longer than others. And the worst thing you can do, any of us, is to come to the place of thinking that the emotions someday are going to give up. They're not ever, period. They're not going to give up. They are there forever. It's just that the more we force ourselves to spend time with God, the more that peace, His peace, becomes a strength to us. And the more we begin figuring out what we have to do to force those emotions to their knees. You can be standing there with your Bible. You're getting ready to go pray. And you can just make a statement. Emotions, I know You're there. And I know You're just waiting for me to sit down with my Bible and open my mouth and start to pray. I know You are. So I want you to know this. I'm prepared. God has already told me I must subdue you. Now, you belong to me. I do not belong to you. Therefore, if you're going to try and pull me out of this time of prayer, which I know you are, know ahead of time, I'm going to fight you, but I'm going to fight you from the realm of the Spirit. And you already know that is something you cannot beat. I will win. I'm spending this time with God. Scream all you want. Make me feel miserable all you want. Make me feel like I want to do everything else. Do it. But I'm going to fight you. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to pray. I'm going to grow. And I'm going to begin to experience more of God's peace, which will continually strengthen me to overpower you again and again and again. I acknowledge Your existence. But I do not acknowledge Your authority. I say You have none. I'm better than You. You can take that kind of an attitude. You say, Brother Martin, that almost sounds like you need a therapist. Talk to your emotions. You have anything better? Got a better idea? That's what God was saying here. Arm yourself with this thought. My emotions will never agree. Therefore, they must be subdued. This is the answer. Honestly, this is the answer that I believe many, maybe even most Christians need to hear. Your emotions are not going to stop. They're always going to be there. But we have the ability to overpower them and subdue them and make them give in while we spend that time with God. Sometimes they're going to be a little more willing to give in. Other times, man, they're going to put on the gloves and go at it with you. But God is already telling us, because You have My life in You, You can do this. But the first step is to believe what I have said this day and not allow your emotions to dictate your actions. Until you do this, you will continue through life as you have for so many years. He's given us the answers right here. Today, I am telling you how to experience change. Take me at my word, act on my word, and conform to the image of my Son. Praise the Lord. I'm encouraged. I feel better about not feeling better. Hallelujah. Everybody stand.